I want to get back into this encounter that I had actually Monday with Anna and Pastor Chuck. We're praying at our house, and you never know. Like when you go up, you never know what level kind of exchange you're going to get. You never know coming down what's going to happen. We're in the plumb line phase, and I was taken out into, I would consider this an encounter because it shook me up. It was so, so heavy. I actually, in the spirit, I was just standing over this house, administrating the blessing over the plumb line at my house, standing over this house, kind of like we do. And I was praying this particular scripture. It said, he turns our rock, the rock of Christ, into a standing fountain. We know the rock is in us, the foundation stone, and he turneth the rock into a standing fountain. And as I began to say that, I was standing in the spirit, like in here, just, you know, and suddenly I saw what looked to be the tree of life. It broke out from this house and it broke straight through the ceiling. I don't know how to explain it. It kind of moved out to the parking lot. That's where the trunk was almost. It wasn't sitting in here. The whole thing became, it expanded over the sanctuary and it stretched out over the entire property. And it was, to my knowledge, or what I could see, at least 100 foot tall. Maybe this is what, 30 foot ceiling there? Yeah, three times that. And as it began to spread out, I saw every manner of revelation and all, every manner of apostolic fruit in it. I saw miracles, signs, and wonders that were dripping off the tree. And people started coming under this tree everywhere, from everywhere. And as they would come under this tree, whatever they needed, it was released. I saw tents being put out in the parking lot. And people would come in because they couldn't get into the sanctuary. And the glory was so intense. And the life, the resurrection life that was permeating the atmosphere, it broke out into the atmosphere. Bodies being made whole. Signs, miracles, and wonders, the administration of his government, blessings. People could come before that actually happened. When I was standing kind of like here, the pulpit, I saw as a plumb line, these angels coming out of heaven and this huge angel. When I say I see by awareness. I don't see through the mind or through the spirit eye. I don't see like that. But the awareness becomes so real to me in that realm. It's so intensely real. Like if you close your eyes, I am definitely 100% aware. There are people in this room. I'm aware there are walls. I'm aware of this environment. It's the same way in the spirit. I'm very aware of what's going on when I'm in encounters like this. And this angel came out and it looked like a, because everyone said, well, tell me the details. I don't see with detail like that. That's like me trying to explain the very detail, that wall over there. I'm just aware of it. I can see it through awareness. Amen. Okay. So this angel had this, looked like it'd be a sword or almost a hammer or something in his hand. And he struck this, like a umbrella that was over this house. Like a canopy, like a glass. Say, think of it like a glass canopy that stretched all around. I don't know if it's glass or not, but he began to strike it with fierceness. And he struck it over and over and over again. And then suddenly it went, it just exploded. And then I saw these massive company of angels come out of the heavens. And there were so many of them. It was like they're Elijah where they filled the whole countryside. But I saw one of their faces. In this particular instance, I did see, like I saw in that realm specifically, in the intensity of his face, but he was so full of joy and excitement because they had been waiting for this day. They were waiting for this to happen and they came through with such force, and they were praising God with the loudest voice, and there was such joy on their face, but there was also this intensity, like they were on a mission. And that's when the tree suddenly went whoosh, and it broke out of the ceiling. And then I began to see the tents and people coming under, and the atmosphere around this entire place was life. It was pure, unadulterated life is the only way I can describe it. It was far greater than any presence I ever felt. I was actually caught up into this life while I was looking in this encounter. And I began to see that whole army would swirl around this property. And nations begin to come, and I was aware the crown had been brought in, but this tree of life was administrating the government of peace without measure. The increase of this government began, and it began to multiply with exceeding multiplication. And it shook me so much because I began to become aware of who I am. And who my infirmities, my weaknesses, I kind of shifted out of that and started looking, and I was very shaken by the responsibility of, because it was so real, of administrating something like that. This house birthing out something like that. And I realized everything in a moment's time would change. Suddenly we went from this small church all our life, ministering all these revelations, and suddenly we were put on a map, media, everything. And it had an adverse effect on me. In fact, I just had Chuck and Anna just leave the room. I was just on my face before God. It was a very holy moment. And when I came out of that encounter, it took me a little while. The Spirit of the Lord began to say to me, he said, this is not an operation that can come from the gift realm. This is not an operation of what you would consider visitation. This is an operation of the manifested life. This is an operation of the anointing without measure. And he said, this tree, if you can understand it, apart from the aspects of the crown, because that had a certain timing to it, but this operation, he said to me, he said, any believer had this capacity if they understood how to bring it into the earth. Or stay with it, is what he said. If they would stay with me long enough for this to manifest. And what he said was, he said, for this level of operation, the kind of faith necessary for that birthing can only be found in the face of God. He said, it's where I operated, and it's where I am teaching you all now to operate in. Because without understanding the face of God, you're still trying to get God to do something. The face of God is not getting God to do something. The face of God moves to a place that was already done. And there's no limitation. And so, with that said, I want to move back in to Romans 8. Romans 8 holds the master keys to the life that we were looking at. This fountain, that tree, it's a fountain, it's a tree. It's life expressed in imagery. It's Christ in us that can stand up. I saw when I was in this, I started, the way God was downloading, you could hear and see in multiple dimensions. I remember immediately what Tommy Hicks' vision that we shared a lot here. Remember the sleeping giant? He stood up into the heavens, and when he reached his hands up into the heavens, the silver came down and filled the whole being with silver, and it broke out liquid light in all the nations. And that's exactly what we were looking at. the giant that's standing up in the heavens is Christ in you. It's not human sufficiency to stand up in the heavens. Christ has to stand up into the heavens, but Christ in you has no limitation. And he can stand tall. What I was feeling and looking at and participating in was something that made me feel 100 feet tall, but I knew it wasn't me. It made what was going on inside, it like stretched forth the curtain of the habitation, if I could say. I mean, it stretched it out, but suddenly faith came. Limitation was chased away. Doubt and unbelief was the ceiling that angel was hammering on. He shattered it, and suddenly this unlimited realm of faith broke out. When I was standing there for a time and looking at how so much could flow out of such a small place. It was a corporate faith, but so much of heaven could come out of such a small group of believers. It would immediately change the map. The spiritual map of the city was immediately changed. This house underwent an immediate baptism. It shifted and changed overnight. And the weight of it is, how do you shift like that? You know, because I'm still looking at that from my where I'm at now, not knowing, you know, knowing that God has to bring a baptism of wisdom to us for that kind of administration. He's not going to leave us where we are. But the glory and the life was so intense and so intensely powerful. It was so absolutely contagious. The people were jamming the place. I remember immediately Steve and Roxanne. Steve had that incredible vision where healings broke out all over this region, and they were running there, and healings were breaking out, and people were moving out in cars, and those cars, wherever they went, healing, and they're breaking out everywhere. And then I remember another one, dear friend of mine, Michael Jones, trumpet player, he called me one day. He said, listen, I've been in intercession for you all day. I was in an encounter. And he goes, I saw, and listen to this, he goes, I saw the front parking lot of your church. There were tents out there. He said that. And he goes, and they were bringing buses in, and ambulances weren't bringing people to the hospital. They were bringing them there first. And people were getting healed of intense, creative miracles, like blind and deaf and lame. And he said, and it broke out all over the atmosphere. And all of this was coming back to me immediately. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, the key is the life. It's the life that's already in you. The key is getting that life to resurrected state. Getting that life to open its next phase. We'll go back into Romans 8 for a minute. In that realm, you don't deal with doubt or unbelief. You don't deal until you start coming out. Praise the Lord. For the law, verse 2, of the Spirit of life has made me free from the law of sin and death. Paul talked about a man in Romans 7 that was under the law. He said, when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin did operate in our body. He wasn't talking about having a bad hair day. When he was describing being in the flesh, he was talking about a spiritually dead Jewish man trying to keep the law that was good, but it was producing death in him. In other words, he was spiritually dead, and God had this commandment he would bring to a whole nation, and it was God's perfected perfection. And he says, now keep it. And he goes, as soon as that law showed up, thou shall not, and all the operations of the law, as soon as I tried to do it, it set something off in me. He says, I found the good that I want to do. I want to do it. I can't do it. He's not talking about you struggling in your flesh. He was talking about a spiritually dead man struggling to keep a law that came from God. And he says, the more I tried to keep it, the less I could. And he said, the good I want to do, I can't do. And that what I don't want to do, I find myself doing. Because it engaged something. It awakened his nature. And his nature wasn't born again. It awakened the spiritually dead nature. That's what he saw about a man in the flesh in Romans 7. Motions of sin, which by the law did work on our... It set sin in motion. He goes, sin was already there, but the law set it in motion. Because as soon as I tried to keep it, I couldn't. Then he says, oh, who's going to deliver me from this wretched operation? He says, I thank God, Christ Jesus, my Lord, because Christ brought a new law in. He purchased the law with his body. He goes, the life that I'm going to give is my body for the world. I'm going to give my life for the world. And I'm going to purchase a new law. And even that law, when he purchased it, is what the Father used to raise him from the dead. He had to become sin. But then God returned life. He said, as the Father had life in himself, he gave life to the Son. He raised him from the dead. And then the Son was given authority to execute judgment over the spiritual death. So every one of us that received the Lord were born again. We're all very much aware of what it means to be born again. We're very much aware there's life in our spirit. We're very much aware that God could take in a moment's time an eternally dead spirit and recreate it into an eternal life spirit in 1 second's time. I remember that happened to me. I awakened. The spirit of life removed the law of sin and death. Eternal. Think of that. Eternally dead. A spirit, it's eternal. It's going to live in heaven or hell. It's eternal. There's no other place. There's no purgatory. You're either going to be in life or death. That's it. So when that spirit was recreated, he did it with a law that he purchased. That law had two phases in it. And this is important. There were two major operations in the law of the spirit of life. One was given immediately upon being born again. The other one was programmed into it like a seed. It had another operation, much like the one when your spiritually dead spirit passed from death to life. That second operation was programmed inside of Christ in you. The foundation stone, there was more life. There's more operation in there. In fact, it's eternal life in there. It's eternal, say eternal life in your spirit, but it has another program to release. And Romans 8, if you understand Romans 8, is all about the release of that second program. The final operation. This life was shown and revealed on the Mount of Transfiguration, as we talked about Sunday. When Christ stepped into his own glorification that day, this is when the Father overshadowed him. The Father said this only two times to him. One, when the Holy Spirit came over him, when he was anointed to introduce the new covenant. The second one is the Mount of Transfiguration. When the Father overshadowed him, the Holy Spirit was there, the Father was there, and the Father said, "This is my Son, who I am well pleased, hear him." What he was saying, the reason he said that this day, because Christ just finalized man's redemption. He walked out into his own resurrection that hadn't even happened yet. He walked out into your and I's resurrection that happened yet. He walked out to the finality of man. If you want to know what you're going to look like in the eons to come, you're going to look like that. The light broke out from his body. It broke out from his countenance. It broke out from his face. It broke into a covering, the whitest snow. That wasn't his clothing. That was the glorified stuff that he's wearing. He had a glorified body. He had glorified clothing. I mean, he was wearing it and they were looking at it. They were looking at something that hadn't even happened in the earth yet, because Peter, as we know, wrote about that. Remember? So Peter wrote about when we made known unto you the second coming of the Lord Jesus, we were eyewitnesses of it. And he used that mountain to describe the second coming glory of the Lord Jesus. Well, we've taught into all that. When the Father said, who I'm well pleased, he had just manifested the redemption of man. Christ, while on the earth, why did he have to do it on the earth? Why couldn't he have just gone up into the heavens? Because there is a whole global church of people in the last days that are going to be glorified right off the earth, called the rapture. So Christ had to manifest that while standing in the earth. Legally, we knew he was going to go up into heaven and be glorified and return to his glory, but he had to do it while on the earth. So the Father manifested the rapture right there. Rapture, call it rapture glory. So when the Father said, this is my Son who I am well pleased, what he's saying is, he just completed your redemption. I'm well pleased with him. Listen to him. Hear what he has to say about who you are now. Because you're looking at it. You're looking at man's God, when Adam's fall immediately set in motion. He said it that day. He said, thy seed, you will bruise his heel, but he'll bruise your head. The seed of the woman, he's going to bruise your headship over lawless sin and death. And so Christ comes in. He enters into the finality of our redemption. His light, his body shining as the light of the sun. He's standing in the glorification body. He's just completed man's image. And God said, this is my Son whom I'm well pleased. All of that you saw is sitting up inside of you right now. It's programmed in a seed. Now, what we want to do and what I saw in that vision is how to release that programming in the last days. God's going to release the program before our time. And that life is going to stretch its wings. That life is going to break out in the atmosphere. That life is going to cause us to operate in a realm we have not operated hitherto. And that life, there's enough of it for all nations. Amen. And the more someone eats from it, the more it multiplies in you, to you, and through you. It was Christ in us. I knew it for sure. But he was operating through us without limitation. The limitations were shattered. That angel came down and smashed the limitation. Suddenly, he that believeth out from his innermost being rivers, tree of life. However you want to see a fountain standing up. I was just in the tree of life that day. It's the way he wanted me to see it. And all the apostolic were prayers. Oh my goodness. I saw people as soon as they stepped into the open heaven, they could utter a prayer and it was done for them right there. It was the most amazing thing. I said, could anything like this actually be possible? But I'm standing in it. Because that's what the face of God allows you to do. And the way I stood over there was I stood in this chapter. I was standing in this chapter because he goes from describing this resurrection, this glorification, to finishing it all in the same sentence. That's why he said, if you follow with me, we'll have the light of life. He that followeth me, you will not walk in darkness, but you will have the light of life. In him was life. The life became the light of man. The life is the foundation of it all. The glorified resurrection life. We're in that generation to unlock that. But I'm not just preaching, and this is the difference. You could preach this, but I'm standing over there, and things are starting to happen now. As I'm standing over into the life. I'm standing in these words that he said. The first thing he did, it freed you from the operation. There's three laws. You have the law, which is what was given to the Jewish people, that they lived under the law, mostly the law of Ten Commandments and all the Levitical law. That was all the law, say the law. Then you had the law of sin and death. That's what came over Adam and multiplied down. And you have the law of the Spirit of life, which Christ purchased. So you have the law before the law, before Moses, there was still a law working in people. It was called the law of sin and death. It was working since Adam. The Bible is very clear. From Adam, it multiplied. But then Moses introduced a new law. And then Christ introduced the law of the, what? Spirit of life. This law of spirit of life is what we're talking about today. It freed you from the law of sin and death. It freed your inner man from all operations. It is a law unto itself now. Amen? Verse 10. But if Christ be in you, if you've been born again, if you have a spirit that's been recreated with that law when you were born again, the Holy Spirit was with all the Old Testament believers. If the Holy Spirit on his own could execute a born again spirit, he would have done it. There was no law for him to execute. So he had to anoint people. He anointed the prophet, the priest, and the king. He would anoint people until Christ came in and purchased the law. You understand that? The law of the Spirit of life. A law that could recreate someone's eternally dead spirit. Christ had to purchase that. Once that was purchased, once you call upon the name of the Lord, the Holy Spirit does the work of the regeneration, but he's doing it with the power of the law of the Spirit of life. He's not the law of the Spirit of life. He's utilizing the law of the Spirit of life. Christ, who purchased that law, he's the law of the Spirit of life. It's the Holy Spirit that has to do that work. He's utilizing what the Lord purchased. So a lot of times what you see, especially in Romans 8, is big S should actually be little s. It's not really speaking about the Holy Spirit. It's talking about this word that he used in verse 2. Say, law of the Spirit of life. That's what you, how you were born again. That's why if the Holy Spirit was that law, then watch this. Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believe? Have you received the Holy Spirit since you've received the Holy Spirit? If he's the law of the Spirit of life, if he's that life inside of you, then why would he need to come? He's not the life. Christ in you is the life. He took the law and recreated your spirit, but then he comes and baptizes himself inside of Christ. Now he's living in you. As before he would come upon you, he can come jump up inside you. The Holy Spirit comes and baptizes. He couldn't do that before because you were dead. Your spiritual man was dead. He could come upon you, but he couldn't come live up in your dead spirit. He can live up inside you now. Amen. He's living in what the law of the Spirit of life created. Christ in you. Amen. That's important. Okay. Verse 10, if Christ be in you, if you're born again, your body's dead. Your body didn't get born again yet. He already declared it dead because of sin, but the Spirit, your spirit, he's not talking about the Holy Spirit here, but your spirit is life because of righteousness. Verse 11, but if the Spirit of him that raised Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised Christ from the dead with the same law that he raised him from the dead with, he's going to also quicken your mortal body. The same law that caused you to be born again is the same law that's going to cause the resurrection. Christ is all of that manifested on the Mount of Transfiguration. All of that is inside you. Verse 17. If children, then you're heirs. Say, if you're heirs, then you're joint heirs. Watch this. I'm going to show you how to read this chapter. Joint heir. I want you to think about the Mount of Transfiguration when you read this chapter. He says, if I'm children, I'm heir. I'm a joint heir with, say, with Christ in his glorification. If so be that I've suffered with him, I shall also be what? Glorified. Say glorified together. I'm a joint heir. Say joint heir to the glorification of the Mount of Transfiguration. Say, I am joint heir to the glorification witnessed and seen on the Mount of Transfiguration. What I see there, I'm joint heir to. Now I'm going to show you why you have legal right to step into it now and not wait for it. You know, they say, wait for it, wait for it. No, step in. You're not going to get that tree 100-foot tall if we wait for it. I've seen a lot of people go after this realm and died going after it. There are people that wanted this for generations that didn't get it. I see my spiritual father go after it his whole lifetime. And he didn't come up with it. It's not an easy realm to find. It's going to have to be found by the mysteries of God. Desire alone is not going to produce it. You and I can go to this pulpit and repent every single night on the behalf of this city, on the behalf of this nation, on behalf of our own life, and it still won't produce what I'm talking about. God wants to manifest. There's something else that we have not found. There is a realm, but the first thing we have to realize is that he finished it. It is done. It is complete. We have to find out how to go stand in it and get it. Amen? We got to go over there. There are keys in the face of God that allows us to go over there. And he's honing in so much on the life. He keeps telling me it's the life that's going to cause it. It's opening the wellspring of the life. What did he say? He goes, the water that I will give you, you'll never have to thirst again. The waters I, how many of you thirst? Oh my God, I haven't qualified for that. I'm still thirsting. Even I've got the river. He goes, the life I'll give you will be a wellspring of life that will flow and bubble up out of you continuously. And then he goes on to say something greater than that. He said in John 7, he says, he that believeth upon me, if you can meet this condition, not what man says it is, not what you think it is, not what your mind says it is, but if you can meet the condition or the mystery that causes this to happen, out from your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. And that is the Ezekiel 47 rivers, that ever these rivers go from a temple of the living God, everything that's dead will come alive. What I was looking at, tree alive, you could look at it as a fountain, but it was the tree that day. I've seen it as a fountain before, but that day, whew, it was a tree. Christ described himself as the bread of life, tree of life, and the fountain of life. Living waters, all of it, life, 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 life. I came to have life and life more abundantly. So, in this chapter of Romans 8, there are major keys. One of the keys is to understand that I'm joint heir. When he's saying joint heir here, he's actually, you're joint heir to everything. But he's specifically speaking to Christ in his resurrection. Just as he has been given a glorified body, you are joint heir with him and you have been glorified together with him. I'm going to read it again because we have to get our spirit over into this. Paul is introducing this to levels. He's introducing it, and then he's going to finalize and say, this already happened. Because he's writing out of the face of God. Paul was trying to get this, by the way. In Philippians 3, he was trying to obtain this resurrection. He actually wanted to go on to heaven, but there is a resurrection life that we can obtain where the Holy Spirit will anoint us without measure. Because it's not us anymore. The life overrides us. The life overrides our mind, our body. It overrides all the programming, all the dysfunction. It overrides death itself. And the Holy Spirit begins to anoint the life. And the life is manifested. Verse 17, the children, then heirs. And heirs of God. Joint heirs with Christ. Because he just got through talking about his resurrection. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I reckon the suffering of this present time are not worthy compared with the glory that will be what? revealed from within us. In the same way it was revealed from within, because it's in us. It's part of Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you is not just be born again, going to heaven. Christ in you is a fountain. Christ in you is a river. Christ in you is a tree. Christ in you has no limitation to him who believes. There is no limitation. We're the only one that puts it on it, who we don't understand how to stay with it until it gets loosed. It's been very costly for us to stay with this. You see the city coming out to hear this stuff? They don't come out to hear, they come out to see. Mysteries produces the operation. Multitudes don't come to the mysteries. They come to the outpouring. Think Jesus would come out and reveal the mysteries? You think any of those multitudes been there without the sign, miracles, and wonders in life emanating from him? He was so full of life that dunamis would stream out of him. Rivers of life. Holy Spirit was anointing with a dominion. It was powerful. The mysteries, though, you're seeing is glory. It's awesome. The encounters are cool. Awesome. Rawr. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, when he was speaking his life, he goes, he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood, you have no part with me unless you eat of my flesh, drink of my blood. They parted from him that day. He lost a lot of disciples that day because of what he said. When he started really unlocking them, he talked to 12 and the 70 together. Unto you has been given to know the mysteries of God. To them without, they're there to see. You're here to understand. I want to understand. The difference is what side of the table you're going to be on. Are you going to be greatest in the kingdom? You'll serve the kingdom to others. Or are we going to be served from the table? We want to serve. The mysteries position you to serve the kingdom. It's positioning this house for a mass transformation. You have been glorified together with me. When he said we've been glorified together, that means what I saw in the Mount of Transfiguration, I was in him and with him. Because he was manifesting his glory, therefore I, what? Am glorified together with him. Now, I'm not saying that we're going to walk up into our glorification and we're going to all walk around 24 hours a day in the glorified life. No, but that glorified life that's going to get unleashed in an unprecedented manner. The ceiling's about to get shattered over it. It's going to start flowing. Let me say it like this. Drop down to verse 20. Whom he did foreknow, he predestinated to be conformed to the name of his son. That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So, watch this. Whom he did foreknow, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. He was the firstborn. He was the image bearer. Christ the image bearer. Moreover, whom he predestined, then he called, him the called, he justified. If you've been at this church, you've heard this. To whom he justified what? Going to glorify or glorified? Going to do or did do it? How can he glorify us? Because the day of glorification hadn't happened. He did that because the same way he did it with Mary, when she said, I know Lazarus will raise again on the last day. He goes, I am that day. And he just pulled that day and called Lazarus out of the grave. I am the resurrection. He was not bound to an event that's going to take place in the future because he already inhabits that event. This is why we have to understand it. We have to go over. If he's not bound, you're not bound. If I've been glorified together with him, I'm already glorified. That means I'm glorified together. Then what I see in the Mount Transfiguration, I can stand in. I stand up in that glory. I walk over in that glorification. I walk over in that moment in the twinkle of the eye. But I'm telling you, I am starting to see it. I'm starting to experience it and around. These encounters are becoming very real now. They're very powerful. They're getting more powerful. And things are getting shattered off the belief system. When I saw that angel come and smack down that veil, that's a corporate veil over the whole church globally. It keeps us from operating like we're supposed to. And he was, pow! Our words are moving up into the heavens. Our prayers are moving. Our prayers are incense into the heavens right now. We keep his word. We don't let go. That's the way we get there. Before all this was available, you had men like Abraham and David. These men were in a dispensation, but they didn't allow themselves to be bound to it. They were spiritually dead. Abraham was a spiritually dead man. He was in covenant with God. There was no law of the spirit of life. David was not a born again man. He was a man in covenant with God, a king that was in covenant. And God operated with them. But they both foresaw this day. Abraham rejoiced to see my day. They both knew what God was going to do. They both foresaw it. They knew it and operated because Romans 4 said both of them received accounted righteousness. In other words, righteousness was accounted to them when it wasn't even available to them. The only way righteousness, when it says righteousness, he was talking about not righteousness that came by the law. It was the righteousness that came by faith in Christ. They saw what God was doing. They knew a seed was going to come out of their loins that was going to pay the price, create a whole new race of people. They saw it. Abraham rejoiced to see my day. That day he walked before the face of God. He understood the redemption of man was counting on this seed of life that was going to be sown into the earth and bring life to the world. And Abraham goes, I want some of that. And so when they looked out into a dispensation that didn't belong to them, they were able to step over. The Bible is very clear that David and Abraham both stepped over. And they received the counted righteousness. You can read about it in Romans 4. Both of them receive what you and I have available to us now. A righteousness that doesn't come by the law, that comes through the justification of Christ. Even though their spirit was still dead, they got to operate in the earth like it was alive. They operated like you and me, but their spirit was still dead, but they operated like it was alive. Their spirit didn't come to life till Christ went and preached to the just men in spirit in prison. He brought them all out of Abraham's bosom. They all got born again that day. And he led captivity captive. He went into Abraham's bosom. He preached to just men spirits. They were all born again. He led a procession out of Abraham's bosom into the heavens. They could not go into heaven until that law was in the earth. They all were waiting in Abraham's bosom. Could you imagine the day he showed up and preached to them? Man, but Abraham and David had received it through what was called accounted righteousness. It got accounted. It's much like your credit card. When you go to buy something and you hand them the credit card, say, listen, I have an account. Someone's going to pay this bill, this debt later, but I want it now. Can you relate? I want this now. I can't afford it. I'm bound by sin, but I have someone who can afford it. He's coming. He's got plenty. And he'll pay this debt, but I want to operate without the debt of sin. And God said, charge it on the master's card. So Abraham and David, they whipped out their master's card, showed it to the devil, and said, charge it to the master. I'm operating in accounted righteousness. He'll come and pay the debt. All the interest too. Charge him all the interest you want. His blood will cover it all. They saw the day. They took their dead spirit and operated like a spirit that was alive. What God's asking for us to do in our generation is see the day. You don't have to see that day. You got that day. Say, I got it. I got it. So if I got the day already, he's looking at, look what's next. Look to the new day. Look to the day of resurrection. Look to operating without limitation. Walk over into the day and get you some. Accounted glorification. Glorified together with Christ. In the face of God, I see it. We know it. We're the generation. I'm not waiting for it. I'm going to walk over and get me some. Because I've already been glorified together with him. He's already finished it over here. He's already done it. In fact, he said, you already were glorified. He did it in the Mount of Transfiguration. I'm joined with him. I am an heir and I'm glorified with him. Now when I see him there, I see him inside of me. Breaking out of my body. Bust the limitation. Break the limitation. Break it off my soul. Break it off my mind. Break it off my body. Break it off my belief system. break it off. Bring me some transformation with it and some glorification and anoint the life. That's how he's going to do it. That's how that tree is going to stand up inside of us. You can call it accounted glorification. If they can do it, we can do it. See, if they can do it, spiritually dead, we can do it. Jesus did the same thing. Lazarus wasn't supposed to come out of that grave. He says, but I am that day. She said, I know you'll rise that day. He goes, but I am that day. I can bring that day now. I can walk into the day. I can take Lazarus today. I can come back. I am not bound by your time frame. Because we're going to learn to reach. Step over. Remember the lady? This is such a great example. There was several of these. It was a Syrophoenician lady. Remember? And it was her son or daughter needed a major deliverance, major healing. And she came to the Lord. Help my son. Help my son. He's often vexed. And the Lord, she wasn't even part of the, he did something that day that people don't understand. He on purpose offended her. He said, it's not meet to give the children's bread. She wasn't a Jew. She wasn't in covenant with God. And she says, it's not meet to give the children bread to dogs. That's the, Jesus did that. The reason he did that, he needed her to reach beyond where she was standing. He needed her faith to reach. So he offended her. And she said, yeah, Lord, but even the dogs get to lick the crumbs from the master's table. He said, oh, woman, great is your faith. This didn't even belong to you, but you just grabbed you some of the children's bread. Your faith stepped over and grabbed you something that did not belong. It didn't belong till the next dispensation, but you went and grabbed it for yourself. Great is your faith. Faith can reach over past limitation, past boundaries. As long as it sees it is available, faith can go get it. We're a generation that's going to walk into the glorified life. And God's going to anoint the glorified life into the earth in an unprecedented manner before we're lifted out of here. Because we're here to bear the testimony of the life. And that's what that angel was striking the veil. He's striking the rock of Christ. He's striking it again because this rock has to give forth its water once again. It's got to bring forth the next phase, resurrection. Resurrection life, tree of resurrection, fountains, rivers, you name it. The life is manifested. There is a day you and I will be having services. Our body will be tired no more. We can operate. Our body will require 1 to 2 hours of sleep because it's going to move more and more into the our minds are going to be freed from its limitations. Suddenly, you're going to wake up brilliant. The seven spirits of God are going to anoint us in an unprecedented manner. We're generation resurrection. Let's give God glory. Hallelujah.